This is our community chapel, and we gather together today to consider the needs of our brothers and sisters and their families and friends in various types of circumstances. As we prepare for prayer this morning, let me read you the names of students and the members of our staff and others who are in particular need of prayer today. One of our students, Leonard Southern, has a father who is in serious condition with heart failure in Roanoke Memorial Hospital in Roanoke, Virginia. Larry Russell's mother underwent exploratory surgery on Friday, October the 26th, at Cabarrus County Hospital in Concord, North Carolina. John Hackworth's father is in serious condition in a hospital in Colorado. And Charles McLendon's father has congestive heart problems and is in serious condition in Rockdale County Hospital in Conyers, Georgia. Mike Leach has received word that the biopsy that was taken from him last week has shown a malignancy, and he will return to Rex Hospital on Wednesday for further surgery. It's anticipated that surgery will take place on Thursday. Rick Tysinger, his wife, has returned to the hospital for additional tests, but they have thus far been encouraged because no evidence of leukemia has been found. Cindy Russell, who is the assistant in the president and the dean's office, her father will undergo tests for high blood pressure today in a hospital in Union, South Carolina. Carolyn Bailey's mother-in-law passed away on Saturday, October the 27th. And you'll remember that Carolyn lost her own mother only a few weeks ago. The funeral service will be conducted Tuesday, today, October 30, at 2 in the afternoon at the Stony Hill Baptist Church. Alice Reese has also suffered sorrow. Alice is the wife of David and is the Xerox coordinator. Her aunt died earlier this week in Griffin, Georgia. May we spend just a few moments in silent prayer, and then we shall be led in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for the fellowship of prayer and for the privilege that we have of remembering one another in serious, in joyful, and sad times. We thank Thee for Thy presence that is ever with us, but for the very special awareness that we have of Thy Spirit as we bow before Thee in concern for others. Thou hast reminded us where one or two are gathered together in Thy name that Thou art in the midst. This morning we claim those promises, the promises of Thy presence, the promises of Thy concern, the promises of Thy care, not only for us, but for all humankind, and especially Thy promises for love and care to those who trust Thee. We lift up our brothers and our sisters, our friends and acquaintances, and even those who are unknown to us. We lift them up unto Thee because Thou art our God. Thou art the great physician, the Lord of life. In thee not only do we move and have our being, but in thee do we put our trust, and in thee we lodge our hope. Bless, we pray, those who suffer, those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death, those whose worlds have been constricted to the size of a hospital bed, or whose moments have been cataloged by pain and suffering. Wouldst thou be with them as we pray even now, and use us and others as ministers of thy grace to bring health and healing and hope to thy children. Our Father, this day we pray for peace in our world. We pray that within our own lives and within this seminary campus experience and within the structure of the whole world, that men and women might come to know the meaning of life that comes from thee, and that peace might come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the paramount responsibilities that we have as Christian ministers is the interpretation of Scripture. I think it's one of the great tragedies of the church that this has always been a center of controversy, of problem, and of work. That somehow or another, in the midst of the interpretation of Scripture, we have seemed to go after that which was enigmatic or difficult, or that which would be somewhat abstruse, and not really sense the joy and the wonder, the power, the beauty that can be present as one addresses a text, and as in turn he is addressed thereby. We give ourselves to problems, the least and the greatest. We may speak of the problem that is called synoptic, or we may refer to the problem of the historical Jesus. But in the final analysis, Jesus is not really a problem. He is the hope of God in the presence of men. The hope of God in flesh for men and women and boys and girls. And as we interpret the text of Scripture, if we listen enough, if we feel enough, if we sense enough, the words will live. The phrases will take life. And the power that is there cannot be contained within mere words, but will move us to the very throne of God's grace. For a long time, I have been very much fascinated by the way in which the Gospels were written, and especially the way the stories of the crucifixion of Jesus were told. I've tried to address these texts as best I could with every tool at my command that I understood. But in odd moments, in times when my mind was not working at full pace, but when my heart was attempting to be sensitive to what the text would say to me, I began to hear some things that were not really written on the pages, but which seemed to be there just as well. I began to sense that the people who participated in the infamy of the cross might have more to say than just what Mark or Matthew or Luke or John had to say. And so in free moments, sometimes late at night, others early in the morning, I've had encounters with these persons or with these things. In a way, you might say, I have interviewed some of the participants in the crucifixion of Jesus. And I want to share with you some of what I have written. You might call them sketches. You might call them reflections. You might simply call them words. What would the cross have said? The wood itself. Jesus said very little in the narrative, but what might he have said? Or Peter? Or the women? Or that mysterious Roman centurion who stood at the foot of the cross? This is what I think they might have said. First, the cross. If a tree could weep, I would. If a branch could pale with shame, or shiver with wretchedness, or shrink with remorse, I would. Why me, O God? Why should I bear the stains of his ending life, feel his struggling weight, share his human fate, seal the horror of his plight? O God of mercy, why me? There are so many things I might have been, so gracious could have been my end, pleasure should my wood have given, yet here I hold his body riven. Ah, now I see what I must be, a witness to eternity. It's in your heart and on his face, the love of God in bloody trace, the life that on the tree is given shall from the grave be risen. The Roman centurion. It's been so long since I was home. This place is a forsaken mess. Rome rules the world, but the Jews me oppress. Haughty and dirty, mean and nervy, no one their reason can address. At first I cared and looked in their eyes as they begged to be spared. My heart was touched by their cries. But it's been so long, and they will not listen. Die they must, together or alone. Look, the east has begun to glisten. Here they come, not one but three, the dreary task again. They grunt and cry, but all must die. It's theirs, not mine, the pain. Don't look at me, man, you dirty Jew. Why don't you plead like the rest? Let me hear you curse. It's nothing new. Don't put me to the test. But what I sense is not fear or hate. That I can handle. But love? What can I do? The man shares my fate. He prayed for me. It's done. There he hangs, grace strung up on a cross, living, dying, who knows? How strange, somehow it is not all lost. Who is he there upon the tree, so much like but different from me? Bearing my sin, he received my lot. Truly, this man was Son of God. Jesus. It's a fearful thing to die, to hang alone, unmourned, with hagglers and stragglers, laughers and gawkers, wandering about in satanic jubilation. It is a painful thing to die, seared nerves and oppressive heat, thirst. God, how it hurts. My mind is stunned, my senses cry out, will this never end? Why did it begin? It's an awesome thing to die. Such is the will of God. The cross is Rome's, but not my life. The death I choose is sacrifice. Forsaken I am not. O God, my Father, it is finished. Yet my life is undiminished. Peter. I got there late. After all my words, first in pride, then in fear, I meant to be on time. I saw him hanging under the sky. I heard the din of the crowd. My breath was short. My heart pounded. He was by evil surrounded. Jesus was good, a regular Jew. What did he do that he must die? And if he must, why upon a Roman cross? Looking back, at last I see a glimpse of eternity. anointed Christ, crucified deity, forgive my Caesarean protestations, accept, I pray, my adoration. 3 days were long without a leader. Easter's news came with a rush. The tomb was empty, an angel had spoken. This for the world would be a token. Yet to me one word soared above the crush. Go tell his disciples and Peter. The women. Although we looked from afar, we lowly women were there. We saw him sin's penalty bear. We stayed because we cared. They put his body in a tomb. Its place was known to us. So after Sabbath's rest a day, in early morning's light, we went to do what we might. Spices we brought to anoint his body, a final deed of love. But never did we our task complete. He was not there. We could only stare. The heavenly messenger gave the word. We responded with fear, then faith. He said that God had raised Christ up. This news we must relay. So off we rushed to tell the rest, who waited in Calvary's gloom, that Christ was risen and life is given in God's house, yet there is room. May we pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for the power of Thy Word that lives in Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for the witness of the cross that speaks of Thy love so powerfully expressed in our Lord. As we have gathered for one brief moment at the foot of that cruel tree, we pray that we might go our way, determined to share the good news that God cares for all. So may our Lord not have died in vain, and so may we live in the light and in the love of his presence. In his name we pray.